You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The whole world has a weight problem. People aren't patient. They simply cannot wait.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, give us patience to await your plans and to follow your will. Remove from our souls the desperation that despairs of your mercy. Enliven our hearts with eager expectation and unconquerable hope in you and in your Son, with victory over sin and death in his hand. In his saving name we pray. Amen. The whole world has a weight problem. People aren't patient. They simply cannot wait. I myself have waited for 2 hours at a doctor's office, having arrived right on the dot at the time appointed and having informed the receptionist that I was there. I even signed in on the form provided for the purpose. However, the receptionist forgot that I was there. Using all the patience at my command, I waited 2 hours because she had told me to sit down and wait. It turned out there was no emergency that kept the doctor from his appointment. She just forgot about me. People have a feeling that God had just forgotten about them. They wait and nothing happens, or so it seems. Not seeing or understanding what's actually going on, people find it hard to overcome their impatience. They stand in line at the supermarket, and the person checking out suddenly disappears. They wait for a plane, and the announcement is made that it has been delayed, but nobody explains why. St. Paul gave a little glimpse of what is going on behind the scenes of the universe. "I reckon," he said, "that the sufferings of the present time are not worth comparing to the glory that will be disclosed to us. With great expectation, the whole creation awaits the disclosure of the sons of God." Time not only fidgets, it moves. Time moves inexorably, second by second, minute by minute, hour by hour. It moves year by year, decade by decade, and century by century. Paul said that time moves inexorably toward its destination. There's a great day a-coming. The day of Christ's birth is a milestone in the history of the world. So is the day of the Lord that is a-coming, the destination toward which the whole world is headed. People wait for things to happen or things to change. That will be the day of the greatest change the world has ever seen. As Paul intimates, not only the history of humanity, but the character and structure of the universe itself have been thrown into disarray with the contentiousness and confusion of humanity. The willfulness and wickedness of humanity has affected the whole creation. The forces that were meant for the benefit of humanity have been contaminated and despoiled. God always has the final word. St. Paul said, We know that the whole creation strains and stretches until the now, the present time. But there's another day on the way. The birds of the air and the beasts of the field, the grasses and the trees, the mountains and the valleys, wait patiently and with eager expectation for what is still to be, the disclosure of the sons of God. It is pathetic, said Paul, that the things God made should be subjected to such foolishness, not willingly, but by the design the Creator made them to serve. Upset by a very foolish humanity, that creation exists in hope, hope to be freed from the slavery of disintegration, for the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Reading this tremendous eighth chapter of the letter to the Romans, ever since I was a boy, I had a special feeling for the living things that provide humanity with sustenance and companionship, with beauty and commerce. If I read St. Paul correctly, he's saying that the whole creation, animate and inanimate, has more sense than the humanity which put that creation in its present position. Creation is waiting. Humanity cannot wait. Planets patiently follow their courses, but humanity does not follow the course set for it by God. If it could, it would not. The world will not wait, even when the inexorable march of history overwhelms it. The world knows something is going to happen, but it does not know exactly what. People know in their bones, but they won't listen. The world has a wait problem. When you know what you're waiting for, you can get irritable and irascible. The blood begins to boil. You may even blow up. When you don't know exactly what you're waiting for, and you still know that it's on the way, then you've got a problem. Anger is often combined with fear. That combination produces the chaos you see in the world today, full of the senseless drive for power, the selfish seeking of advantage, the violent methods to achieve worthless ends, the cheap price put upon human life, the careless disregard for honor and integrity, and the constant, aimless search for people know not what. Slogging along through this muddy morass, humanity flounders and cannot find its way. St. Paul gives us a clue to what is on the way. I figure, Paul said, that the sufferings of this now, this present time, are not to be compared with the glory which will be disclosed toward us. The eager expectation of the whole creation awaits the disclosure of the sons of God. It may not always look like it, but history has a purpose. It's what the waiting is all about. The disclosure of that purpose in a world that pays no attention to the purpose of God and never seems quite able to achieve even its own purposes. People want peace. They get war. Win or lose the war, nobody has real peace. People form organizations to preserve the peace, as they call it. But those organizations become merely a forum to engage in discussions and even in arguments that produce more wars. When people can't find anyone to fight with, they fight among themselves. All of this, St. Paul seems to say, only throws into clearer outline the plan of God to lead people to hope, to find hope where it can be found. It's ironical that the nature God created, the beasts of the field and the powers of earth, the moisture that forms clouds and the rain that falls upon the earth, the heavenly bodies on their courses and the galaxies of space, seem to have a better understanding of all this than human beings do. All of nature, said St. Paul, is waiting on tiptoe for the climax of all things. The winds keep blowing, and the rains keep falling, and the rivers keep on flowing, and the oceans keep on rolling. The planets keep on going, working and waiting, except for the human beings, whom God created in his own image, going their own way without regard for God, imagining they know everything and knowing nothing. Only humanity can't wait. It can't wait to grow up, and refuses to accept the fact that we grow old. We can't wait to try out our wings, and we rage at the fact that those wings won't do everything we tell them to do. We can't wait to get away from God, and we can't accept the grace he gives to draw us back to himself. We're not trained to wait for anything. We're ready to give up on God and live for this life only. It's like children who knock on a door and then run away before someone comes to answer. We can't wait. We have no patience, have no direction, and have no joy because we have no hope. The wait problem has only one answer. Wait upon the Lord. Wait patiently for him, and he will bring it to pass. Every year, Christian people throughout the world observe this season of waiting. They're reminded of all those generations in times past who waited and waited for the Lord. They waited with eager expectation for the fulfillment of the promise made to Abraham, to Moses, and to God's people, and to the whole world that he would send a Savior. Out of the goodness of his heart, God counted this expectation, this faith in him, to all those people for righteousness, which they could not achieve for themselves. They did not earn it. He gave it. The grace of God is written large in his Son, Jesus Christ, Savior and crucified Redeemer of the world. Jesus Christ, God's Son, became one of us. As one of us, he atoned for our sins by his righteous life and his innocent death on a cross. That's not the end of the story. It's the beginning, a new beginning. It's forgiveness and life to everyone who looks upon that cross of his with eager expectation. It's a new birth of freedom, dispelling the darkness and cutting through a morass of uncertainty and of unrighteousness, of desperation and of death. The clear light of freedom comes from the cross of Christ. To the tomb where he was laid, to await the stone rolled away, disclosing again the grace and the glory of God. The freedom of the sons and daughters of God comes to those who look with eager expectation upon that open tomb. This eager expectation is a clear view of what is yet to come, said St. Paul, giving people even now the first fruit of the Spirit of God. That first fruit of the Spirit is repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, giving ordinary people an extraordinarily new outlook on all of life. They begin to look and wait with eager expectation, the sons and daughters of the living God, for the redemption even of their bodies. By hope we are saved, said Paul. Hope which sees is not hope. Who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see at this moment, with patience we shall receive. Patience is endurance, willing to wait. Learning to wait is a quality of hope that hopes in God. Learning to wait is working when work needs to be done, serving God and one another, even though it may seem to be futile, believing God, even though the whole world should rise up to contradict that faith. Faith goes with God and grows with God. A renowned preacher explained the unusual fear he had of darkness when he was a child. In the evening, after dark, his father asked him to go out and get a certain tool in the barn. There were no electric lights, and the boy finally had to break down and admit to his father that he couldn't do it because he was afraid to go out in the dark. His father walked out on the porch, put a lantern into the boy's hand, and said, "How far can you see?" The boy answered, "I can see as far as the mulberry bush." The father said, "Okay, go that far." The boy got there, and the father called out, "How far can you see now?" The boy answered, "I can see as far as the apple tree." "That's fine," replied the father. "Go there now." Then came the chicken house, the pig pen, and then finally the barn. Each step of the way, the darkness had been dispelled. He went as far as he could see at the moment. He went in hope, dependent upon his father. Faith goes with God and grows with God. Here on earth, we need patience. Here on earth, we need eager expectation for what we do not yet see. Here on earth, we groan and strain, reaching for the disclosure of the sons and daughters of God. We wait for the great day that is a-coming, the great day of the Lord. Jesus promised that day, and it will come, just as the day came that God promised to Abraham and to Isaac and Jacob, the day of the Lord. The day is coming, even while we chip away at the hard stone of life. That little stone of yours, such as it is part of the great expectation of the sons and daughters of God, living stones fashioned by the love of God to take their place in the great cathedral he is preparing for those who love him and the day of his appearing. In all the liberty of a son or daughter of God, wait with eager expectation for the disclosure of the family of God, and you will get the surprise of your life. Amen.